Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, tennis fans from around the globe. The following program is a presentation of the Yellow Ball Network.
Are we on?
Yep, we're on.
All right, let's go.
Broadcasting live from the Tennis Dynamics Studio in downtown Marietta, Georgia, this is the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Your host for the show this week is J.P. Weber.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. I'm your host, J.P. Weber. J.P. Weber here on the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. We'd love to hear from you. Please call us in. The Yellow Ball hotline number is 646-652-4856. And we're broadcasting late here on a Sunday evening. And we are going to quickly go to a commercial break. And when we come back, tonight, we're going to go through a few things from perspective of strategy and looking at some different things and sort of an evolution or a message from me on the way that I've looked at tennis strategy through the years. So when we get finished with the commercials, we'll be right back and we'll get started.
Come play the Marietta Grand Prix. It's a lot of fun. You get to play a lot of tennis, and we have Chick-fil-A sandwiches from Chick-fil-A. And you get to eat a lot. And if you can, you can play doubles with your friends or with your dad or your mom.
Hey, folks, this is J.P. Weber. Take it from the kid. The 2015 Handmade Charlotte Marietta Grand Prix Series of Tournaments is a great way to spend the day with the family playing tennis. To find out more, go to www.tennisdynamics.net. That's tennisdynamics.net, where you can call us at the Laurel Park Tennis Center at 770-919-8602.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. I take great pride in calling it the way it is. It's a meat and potato principle of coaching that no one really cares what you know unless they know that you care. As a parent also, I want this and very skilled hands working with my youngster. Coach J.P. Weber's 30 years of experience speaks for itself. Go see him at Laurel Park in Marietta, Georgia. His website is tennisdynamics.net. Tennisdynamics.net.
Hi, coaches and players. If you play on a tennis court in the Southeast, you've probably played on a tennis court designed, constructed, lighted, or resurfaced by courtmakers.com. Marshall Dye and the guys at Courtmakers will work on any type of court. From my experience with them, they work in a professional manner, they show up on time like they say they will, and they never leave a mess. Courtmakers can provide for all equipment needs. Call them at 770-795-8400. 770-795-8400. That's courtmakers.com. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. I'm your host, J.P. Weber, and we're coming to you now late on a Sunday evening. And I wanted to go through a couple of things. This weekend will end our 2015 Handmade Charlotte Marietta Grand Prix. Let me say that it's been this is the sixth year of the Grand Prix, and it's been a fantastic run. This past year was sponsored in large part by a company named Handmade Charlotte, run by Jonathan and Rachel Fawcett.
And it's one of the nicest, if you're looking for things to do, projects, all kinds of things, crafts, anything you want to do. It's a fantastic website to go to. And I appreciate them for, you know, stepping up and helping us with those Grand Prix tournaments. This will end the Grand Prix for this year. We're hopefully, we've got a new sponsor lined up, we hope, and we will be starting again with all the yellow ball competition and what we do in the new year on Saturdays, and it'll be once a month. And we're looking to expand this, hopefully. A lot of this yellow ball play is very popular with people. I know it's difficult to kind of get around the USTA sort of landmines that they put up for you as far as competition, things of that nature, if you're looking to compete. These are great, great events here. But I wanted to thank them. I also want to thank Court Makers. Over the past year, the Court Makers out of Marietta, Georgia, they do all kinds of stuff, all kinds of courts, from beginning them, from building them to the beginning all the way up to the very end. So Marshall Dye and the guys at Court Makers have sponsored the ReCoach Tennis Radio Show, and I wanted to make sure that I got a thank you out to them. If anybody's listening, high school coaches, let's make sure to, you know, save the date for January 15th through the 17th of 2016. I've got Coach Creasy coming in, Luke Jensen coming in, Jerry Baskin, Manuel Cervantes, myself. And it's going to be a great seminar over those 3 days, and we look forward to hopefully getting people to sign up. If you can, go to www.tennisdynamics.net and sign up there, and we look forward to having you. All right, well, let's get on. You know, a lot of stuff sort of winding down here at the end of the year, and I was kind of looking at and just thinking about my evolution as a coach, my evolution as what I've gone through in terms of strategy. Now, for me and where I sit, so a lot of people look at things, you know, very differently when it comes to tennis and strategy and things of that nature. I've seen the entire spectrum of it. I've seen it where, you know, there are people that divide it up into maybe six primary types of players, four primary types of players, and then there are people that don't even care how you play, what the opponent is like. They're solely focused on getting their player to execute the kinds of things like that. From being in college tennis, I remember seeing both sides of it. A guy like Mike DePalmer at Tennessee was excellent. I remember Mike DePalmer, probably the two guys that are probably the epitome of the different styles of coaching and looking at strategy and things. Mike DePalmer, Bobby Bayless. We're actually out in Arizona. We're playing against Tennessee, and Will Forsythe was playing against Chris Woodruff, and we're playing those two guys. Will Forsythe ended up being an All-American, if I'm not mistaken. Rhodes Scholar, lefty from Pacific Northwest. Chris Woodruff from down here in the South, playing for Tennessee. They matched up out there in Arizona. It was a great match, super match. The match is over, and I'm sitting there with Coach Bayless and I'm with Coach DePalmer. And Coach Bayless had gone through quite a bit of strategy, and one of the things he had Will doing, he wanted Will to take a short backhand or take his lefty backhand slice and slice it. I think at that time he was looking at trying to get him to slice it, maybe just chip it up the line a little bit, low to Woodruff's backhand. And I think he even wanted to go a little bit cross court, low to Will's or to Chip's or to Chris Woodruff's forehand. And Woodruff, of course, was just stepping up and crushing the ball. Now, Will had a big forehand, a huge forehand. At the end of the match, though, Coach Bayless, I remember him sitting there talking with Coach, and I respected them both greatly, but talking to Coach DePalmer, and he was asking Coach DePalmer, how come Chris didn't change and do this? And I remember Coach DePalmer said, well, that's not Chris's game. And Coach Bayless sort of mystified by that. Coach Bayless was famous for getting on the phone, scouting reports, finding out. He was you couldn't exhaust the man in trying to find out every tendency, every way in which a player played, and then trying to fit that in to figure out a strategy that his players needed to use against that player from that team. And you had, a guy like DePalmer who couldn't care less how the players played. He wanted his player right. He wanted his player focused and right, and that's what he worked on. Another guy probably in that school is a Creasy guy. And to be perfectly honest, I sort of had an evolution there because that's sort of the way, first of all, I think the two different sides of this are the way in which, or it is to me the art of coaching. And I don't think there's a real science. It's not scientific, but it's an art. And there's nothing left up to assumption. You can't assume that it's going to be this way or that way. You can't assume one style is going to be this way or that way. There's no science to it. It's an art. Now, for me, the way in which I looked at coaching my players and what I wanted to do, I didn't look at any deception. I didn't look at anything else except getting the maximum effort out of my player, getting my player right, getting my player ready, and getting my player to step up and be able to control the point. And, my whole focus as a coach for years and years and years was simply to focus on the basics, focus on those basics and focus on those fundamentals. Now, out of those basics and out of those fundamentals, you might be able to, if you're working at it every week and you're working at it every hour and you're working at it every day and you're working at it, you're getting very, very good at those little things, then you begin to make significant gains. I have a saying, it's on the back of my shirts for a lot of the kids at the academy, they wear it, says, go slower and get there quicker. And what I look at is the winning is going to come a lot better and a lot quicker if you focus just on those fundamentals. So to me, starting out as a young coach and looking at it, I probably leaned a great deal toward the focus on my player, not the strategy. Maybe it could have been, it could have been, I'm just not that intelligent. I'm not that bright. I'm not that intelligent. I don't know how to look at a lot of different things that a lot of different players are doing. I like to focus on the self. So if, my message to my player was, if you do this well, you're going to win. Nothing special. Keep things very, very simple. And I feel like in that way of doing it, what you end up getting is slow but continued success on what you're trying to do. And if you can get that slow, continued success on what you're trying to do, then that'll lead you to confidence. And with confidence comes wins. So I would work with players time and again on executing the simple cross-court patterns, the simple direct, diagonals and things of that nature with the players. I wanted them to deeply understand why that worked and to deeply... More than that, I wanted them to know that within their strategy, within that simple strategy, there was an answer for everything that a player threw you. And as you did that, and as you set that up, and as you worked on the cross court, and you worked on the right thing to do at that time in that area and how to execute it and what to do, it became more deeply understood. So that, for me, was a way of looking at it. The best thing, since then... I for a good long period there, and for quite some time now, some other people might even argue, my coaching has sort of gone to the dogs. And I spent a lot of time after coaching at Notre Dame and Georgia Tech and some of these places, I spent some time working on training bird dogs. And there was a trainer that I had up in Piedmont, South Carolina, that I still to this day enjoy going to. And I learned more about probably training athletes and players from him than nearly all the coaches that I've worked for. But he keeps it very, very simple, very, very clean, and very, very short with those animals. There are a lot of people that get involved and deep into a system and doing things a certain way, but he kept it very, very simple. And Maurice, Mo, as I called him, just had, it was amazing how he could take that and he could get to a place more quickly than most other people if he did it slowly along the way and dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's and got it just right. So that's sort of the way that I began looking at coaching. That's sort of the way I tend to lean. Now, what I want to try to do, though, is play a devil's advocate because I've worked very hard and I've tried to understand tennis more deeply. And what I want to try to do is I want to go over, and I just think this is a real basic thing. It may work for this show. It may not. It may be hard. You know, it's probably one of these things that you've got to be in front of a whiteboard. You've got to be in front of something. But I want to go through and I want to define what I think. There's a lot of people looking at it differently now than I've seen it. I've seen as many as, you know, different coaches talk about. There's six different types of players. There's eight different types of players. I look at it as four basic strategies or types of players that are out there. And it really comes down to, you know, I don't know whether it's determined maybe by personality or, you know, what you, I think some of it's determined greatly by your coach and how you're coached, and then you add into it your personality. But there's four basic types of players. And I look at it as a serve and volleyer, an all-court player, a counterpuncher, and an aggressive baseliner. Now, for me, I define serve and volleyers as the players that are going to come up to every opportunity they can while they're serving. They're going to be attacking on everything, and they're going to, you know, maybe even on a point, they're going to chip and charge. Now, when you look at the serve and volley players, you know, you right away comes to, from my mind, for me, my effort, what comes to mind is somebody like John McEnroe, Stefan Edberg, Admire, Boris Becker, Tim Henman, Taylor Dent. The players of yesteryear, you go further back, enormous amount of them were serving volleyers. More of them that I can think of that were serving volleyers might have been Pete Sampras. I guess Pete was probably, you know, some people might put him in an all-court. I don't even. Serving volleyer, you know, this day, I think the only one I can think of right now is Nicholas Mahut. Lodra was a guy I liked watching. I don't know how you might, you know, some people might put Lopez in there, Feliciano Lopez. Trying to think of the last American. We've got big server, you got big server and John, but he's really John Isner, bringing Big Bertha, as McGill used to say. But the last American might have been Taylor Dent. So you got the serving volleyers. Then if you want to go from the serving volleyers, you know, the next player is probably on the list of things that I have is probably an all-court player. And, you know, obviously, you know, well, let's go back just a second. On the serving volley side, I didn't mention – there's not a single serve and volley player, at least that I know of these days on the women's side. You had at one time Martina Navratilova, you had Pam Shriver, Billie Jean King, but at this point in time, I can't think of a single serve and volley female. And so back to this, all-court player. Today and now, you put Roger Federer in there. You put Yasnit, Stefanik. I guess a good American might be the all-court, might have been Marty Fish, at least to my mind. The last good American that was an all-court player, a good example. On the women's side, the one that sticks out right pretty prevalent for me was Justine Henin. Hingis probably has some of those capabilities. And the next player on it would be the aggressive baseliner. And Nadal, Djokovic, Soderling, Berdych, Tsonga. On the girls' side, Serena Williams. Let's go back up again. On the all-court side, you know, the all-court players, they're, you know, let's define them. Let's back up even more. Let's go back to the seven volleyers and let's look at them. They're almost always attackers. They're going to come in, they're going to be able to control the net. They're going to be able to get up there and hit a wider variety of shots, winners with a wider variety. If they're not serving and volleying, they may even, you know, we've seen Federer with the saber. They're going to try to get the net as much as possible. They're going to try to apply that pressure to the players as much as possible. The all-court players are going to have every aspect of the game that they can do, whether it's offensive, whether it's defensive, whether it's, you know, trying to do some kind of serving and volleying. They can do a little bit of everything. That's kind of the way I look at it. They've got a little bit of each style. They've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it ends up resulting into a strategy that they can play all over the court. It depends on how you want to do it. Yalsny, Federer, Fish, those guys can do virtually anything. Now let's look at the aggressive baseliner. The aggressive baseliner is going to be an offensive player from the baseline. They're going to try and hit winners in the backcourt. They're going to step up, hit a big forehand. They're going to step up, hit a big backhand. They're going to try and hit some hard penetrating balls from the forehand. They're not going to, you know, the opponent's not going to be able to do much with it. If he is, they're going to step up maybe and take a swing and volley, a mid-court ball, and put it away. And, most of the players that are aggressive baseliners are going to have, you know, one side that's very strong. They're going to have either the forehand that's very big, or they're going to have the backhand that they can do stuff with. Finally, you come to the counterpuncher. The counterpuncher is going to, you know, that was clearly, you know, back years ago, that was, to me, it was a little bit more easily defined when you could look at Solomon and Dibbs and those guys. It's a little bit tougher to talk about a pure counterpuncher now. Counterpunchers now probably would include, you know, I almost kind of include Murray in that. I don't think he's as much of an aggressive baseliner. Ferrer, you know, Simon, Guillermo Coria was one. Admire, the guy that I love the most, I just enjoyed watching play, Tomas Muster. He just retired, Leighton Hewitt. Back in the day, you know, Michael Chang was a great, a counterpuncher. But a counterpuncher is going to be somebody that's going to return. Everybody's going to rely on the other side of the net making mistakes. They're going to have, you know, they're going to be very consistent. They're not going to be making any errors on their own. And, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to hit winners. They're going to have, just an incredible emphasis on being fit, being able to run, things of that nature. So, you know, if I was looking at counterpunchers, those would be the players. I think I mentioned those. You know, somebody that's a counterpuncher that's a little bit different might have been Santoro. So Fabrice Santoro, he was one. So these are some of the things that I looked at, you know, in terms of defining players and trying to figure out how, you know, we go about doing it. I'm going to take a real quick commercial break. Take a break, and when we come back, what I want to try to do next is I want to try to take the position of a lot of these coaches and look at, and I just want to go through this sort of exercise of doing this. I'd like to take each style of player and counter them to another style, and in countering them with another style, I'd like to see what the keys are for those players and those types of players against that style of play. So we're going to take a break. We'll come right back, and we'll get into some of that stuff. This is the We Coach Tennis Radio Show here on the Yellow Ball Network. All the words I could say.
I can't think of a better place to go than courtmakers.com for any of my court equipment needs. Any kind of equipment that you need for your club or facility, windscreens, nets, net straps, benches, scoreboards, you can find all of this at courtmakers.com. Or like them on Facebook and see all the latest stuff that they're doing in court construction, resurfacing, and lighting. That's courtmakers.com, courtmakers.com.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. All of you know that I take pride in calling it the way it is. And boy, oh boy, is it an exciting time in tennis. The 10 and under stuff, the juniors, the pros, and college. If you want to hear the cutting edge of the real stuff and not just the diluted and watered down fluff, folks, listen to Coach J.P. Weber on the We Coach Tennis program every Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time here on the Yellow Ball Network.
This has been the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Check in here with us every Tuesday at noon and listen to another great coach talk about what makes their program a success.